If you've got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. And in your bulletin, it says, start at verse 23. But as I was looking at it over the weekend, maybe we should start at the second half of verse 19. If you have an ESV, it actually has that nice little separation there where it says, Saul proclaims Jesus in synagogues. So Acts chapter 9, the second half of verse 19. This is God's word. For some days, the Apostle Paul, or Saul, as he was introduced here earlier, Saul was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him. I mean, we wonder why. For they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit and multiplied. Let's pray and seek God's guidance and blessing. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this place where we can gather to worship you, sing songs of praise to you in relative comfort, to see our college students, at least some of them, come back for spring break to grace us with your presence again. We thank you, Father, for your word and the great privilege we have in coming into your presence to worship you. Please guide us now from your word. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to be at work in all of us here, to know you, and even as the Apostle Paul was wondering when he was knocked down to the ground many years ago, what are we to do? Please open our eyes to your glory and to your calling. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so after Pastor Tim preached last Sunday about the Apostle Paul's conversion last week, I thought it would be good to continue our look at Paul, look at his newfound spiritual life, because he's a new Christian now. And the Apostle Paul is actually one of my favorite New Testament characters in Scripture. Next to Jesus, of course. Next to Jesus. Yeah. So while last Sunday, Pastor Tim exhorted us to pray, and that's what we should be doing, especially with the decisions we have to make today, I want us this morning to also consider God's special call to all of you, to every follower of Jesus Christ. An old college friend of mine used to tell me, or he used to say to me, he used to say, you know, where God leads, I will follow. And I thought, that sounds pretty cool. He said something else too along with it. My family knows what it is. But when I think about, where God leads, I will follow. And I think he's in the mission field today. I don't know where, somewhere in the world. Probably like a medical missionary. He's a really smart guy. And I thought, I want to follow God too. You know, where he leads, I will follow. But then, as we read the text today in Scripture, in the book of Acts, you may be wondering, well, what if the road is difficult that God's called you to? What if we face hardship? What if things just don't work the way you expect them to work? And like Jesus promised many years ago, in this life you will have trouble. And I saw that even yesterday. I was talking to Joyce, some of my experiences. Yesterday, when I was out in Blacksburg, I was trying to teach a small group of people. And right away, things just weren't working right. And it was interesting. You know, most of you know I worked in the IT industry for a while, so I'm comfortable with laptops and electronics. And nothing was working in the beginning. And it was like before everyone showed up in the room, so I'm like stressing out or trying not to stress out. Yeah. I mean, that's a simple thing here. If you think about Paul in our passage, he faced things that could make your blood run cold. And that's something I want us to consider too. Today, even right now, we normally don't think of this world as a battleground. But it is. It is a battleground. And we have to keep in mind that this place that we're in, and even, you know, whenever or if or whenever we have that new building, just a few feet from here, that's not our home either. You know, this is not your home. This world that we live in, even when you retire and go to sleep at night in that building that you're in, it's not your home. It's a battleground. It's your mission field. Years ago, I worked with this guy. He was a captain in the Rangers, an Army Ranger. Really, really neat person. And because he was an officer, he would lead people into battle. Dangerous situations. You know, he would tell me these harrowing stories about what he experienced, right? And as I listened to him, it's very obvious that he's not at home. He would tell me that, he would call his dad the night before his mission. And he would say, "Dad, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it back. So I want to call you, tell you I love you, etc." Right? And believe it or not, the U.S. government was sending these special forces to battle cartels even back then. Not just now. Right? So he was like in Central America with the cartel, battling the cartels. Interesting story. I'll tell you some of them one time, next time. But he was in a battlefield, a war zone. Okay? He was not at home. His dad was at home. But we have to get ourselves into a mindset that this is not our home too. You know, this is a battle zone that we're in. In Acts chapter 9 here, we catch a glimpse of what it's like to follow God's call and actually to confront Satan. You don't see Satan here, but you see his, if I may call them, his minions working against our Heavenly Father, right? And it's not as flashy, you know, in our everyday life, it's not as flashy as it is in the movies. You watch some of those scary, like horror movies about demons and stuff. It can get pretty creepy. But it can be pretty brutal too when you think about it, because sometimes it's kind of like a slow burn. It just kind of like chips away at you, little things chipping away at you day after day. You're trying to follow God. You're trying to follow His call. And these little things just kind of, it could wear you down. My laptop wouldn't, it wouldn't turn on. I couldn't connect it to the monitor. And then like one third of the way through my presentation, my laptop died again. And I didn't have any assistant with me, so I had to like talk to the people while I troubleshoot my laptop. And then I said, I almost said, screw it. I know what's on the slides anyway. And you guys got the notes. But it got working again. Praise God. People were praying for me, I know. So, yeah. But, you know, like picking up where we left off last Sunday, where Pastor Tim left off. You see, Saul, that's what he was known as back then. That's his Jewish name. When he was reaching the Jewish people, he's known as Saul. And he was later known as Paul when he started reaching the non-Jews, the Greeks. And that's his Greek name. Kind of like you and I, well, a lot of you Asian Americans here, you got a Chinese name, right? Yeah, I got my Chinese name too. No one knows it, except. It was only used once when I was visiting China. And it was like, I hate to say this, it was kind of disturbing hearing me just called by that name out loud. Yeah. Only one person ever called me that, my aunt. And at first I thought she was talking to someone else. But wait, that's my name. Right. So he had two names too. Saul, his Jewish name, Paul, his Greek name. And you read last Sunday that before he came to Christ, came to faith in Christ, he was destroying the church. He was like Rambo on the other side, right? Really just wreaking havoc amongst Christians there, right? And then came the call of God. Literally stopped him in his tracks, right? That bright flash of light. But you know, sometimes God's call comes in a whisper, right? I mean, look at Moses' call. Remember the burning bush? You know, he was peacefully herding his sheep. And then God says, Moses, Moses. And he looked, oh, look at that bush, right? My call was pretty quiet too, right? Pretty quiet. I shared with some of the high school students last Sunday when we're studying Philippians chapter 3 a little bit. And I said, yeah, this is one of my favorite passages in the New Testament because that's where I received my call, Philippians chapter 3. It was a quiet moment. I was reading the passage and then all of a sudden it just hit me. I want what he has. You ever have that moment? You see, especially like at a restaurant, you look at someone's food. Yeah. I want what he has. So I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, and I'm looking at Paul describing this passion he has inside of him. And all of a sudden, I looked out the window, I saw the sunshine. And I said, that's what, I want what he has. And here I am today, right? So what about you? What about you? Do you know what God's calling you to do? Do you know what God's calling you to do? Are you listening for God's call? It doesn't always necessarily have to stay the same, because if you follow Paul through the rest of Acts, you could say he has overall call as a missionary, but he went to different places. And there's times his call became a little bit more specific, like, come to Macedonia, right? That was when he went to, I believe that's where the city of Philippi is, right? My geography is a little rusty. Yeah, become a little bit more specific. Are you listening for God's call? Or are you waiting for a blinding light to knock you down to the ground? Yeah, if you think about Saul here, that's what it took to get his attention. Because up until that time, he wasn't listening for God. He was on a mission for God, and he thought he was doing the right thing, right? But the first call that started everything off for Saul was the call to faith in Jesus Christ. That was his first call. So I want to ask you another question. How many of you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your whole life? How many of you? And as Pastor Tim reminds all of us every Sunday, he died for you and he's alive right now. He died for your sins so that you can have a beautiful, reconciled relationship with the Father again, where the Heavenly Father is not looking down on you with wrath and anger, but with joy and pride. Since this is my son, this is my daughter. Right? Yeah. How many of you long to hear that from your parents? That, you know, where the father or mom says, "I am so proud of you. In Jesus Christ, you get that from the Heavenly Father. Because in Christ, as Pastor Tim reminded us just a few minutes ago, we have his righteousness, and the Father looks down and he sees you covered with Jesus' glory and says, "That's my son with whom I am well pleased." Right? So will you trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, to become part of God's family, a child of God? Because that's what Saul did. And check this out. Before he came to faith in Christ, he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was on the right track. And he was very passionate about it too. Very passionate. He even thought he was like so much better than everyone. If you read what he wrote about himself in Philippians chapter 3, he says, "Yeah, I was better than everyone back then. I was a rising star," right? And then on his way to Damascus, Jesus set him straight. Yeah, Jesus set him straight. And Saul took what he knew, took what he had, and he put it into the service of God right away, right? Right away. It says in verse 20, immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues in the city of Damascus. He was trained in the scripture. He pointed people to Christ, persuading them and proving them that Jesus is the Messiah, the God-man that all the Jews were waiting for. And when you put your faith in Jesus, guess what? God will equip you too. In fact, even before he calls you, he's already equipping you in some way. You know, I was speaking with a seminarian a couple of months ago, and he was having some issues. Like, he says, "Well, what kind of illustrations should I use, you know, when he's trying to teach people?" And I said, "Well, what did God give you when you were a kid? What did God give you when you were a child?" I still use some of those illustrations that God's given me when I was 2 years old. I used it just yesterday when my brother abandoned me and I was lost at a department store. It was so... Yeah, I'm an old man now. It was like over 50 years ago. I still remember all those details, right? And And God has opened my eyes how I can use that when I'm trying to help people understand, especially how little kids can understand something, right? In that case, I was trying to help children understand what it means to be separated from the Heavenly Father. Because I was separated from my mom and dad, and that was a long, I don't know how long I was separated from them, but it was like a long time, right? It was so frightening. And every time I think about it, I just have to like forgive my brother again, because we were both lost, and he saw them and he says, "Oh, I found them," and he just took off. And I was just standing there like, "Wait, where did he go?" God has already, He's already equipping you for things. And when you come to faith in Christ, He will further equip you for the mission that He wants you, for the call that He is setting you on. Right? So what is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to do as a child of God? It may not be what the Apostle Paul did. I mean, he's pretty a unique fellow when you think about it, right? He's not calling, definitely not calling you to write scripture. Yeah, that's like heresy right there. You don't want to do that, follow those cults. It could be something simple. It doesn't have to be flashy. But what is God calling you to do? It doesn't have to be outwardly spiritual. It could be all sorts of stuff. Because like when I was looking to serve in the mission field as an engineer, actually, okay, that's what my training is. There are different ways you could serve as an engineer. And even our church here serves a couple of missionaries. I think they live out in Indiana. They work for, I think, Crew. I said, "Oh, you're missionaries for Crew, or is it navigators or something?" But they're in the audio visual department, so they do these videos, these flashy videos. I was like, "Oh, that's pretty neat, right?" They're serving God. God's called them to do that. Those are some examples, right? You know. Now, if you look at what Paul was doing here in our passage, one thing stands out in his efforts to follow God's call. And a lot of people opposed his message. A lot of people opposed his message. They're always arguing with him, right? But God has given him this knowledge and this intellect, so they can't beat him in a debate. He just wipes them clean. So what do? Well, they say, "Well, we can't beat him. Let's kill him." So Saul's own people, his fellow Jews, wanted to kill him. You may face opposition too from within as you follow God's call. You may and most likely will face some kind of opposition, whether in people or in things, right? You know, things just stop working. I still have some car problems. But I'm working through those car problems. Yeah. Yeah, no one was able to prove Saul wrong. No one. And these people knew scripture really well. They couldn't prove him wrong. And keep in mind, these Jews back then, they're waiting for the Messiah to come. They're looking for the guy. There are other false messiahs that appeared, and the Romans or whoever killed those guys off, and that movement kind of fizzled out. But with Jesus, when the Romans killed Jesus, you know, can't keep a good man down. He came back. And Christianity is still alive and kicking today, right? And back then, they couldn't prove Saul wrong. He faced all sorts of opposition. You might probably face opposition too when you try to follow God's call. And you might wonder, how would that look like? I mean, let's say God's called you to work in a trade, or work as an accountant, or work as an engineer. I thought God wanted me to be an engineer. Yeah, I even had confirmation that I should stay with the engineering program at my school. Yeah. Until I read Philippians chapter 3, and I'm like, oh, maybe there's something else other than engineering, right? And then that was a long, strange road I was on until I'm here. But there's opposition along the way, okay? Opposition along the way. And here's another thing, as you try to follow God's call. Don't be discouraged if you don't see any fruit. Seriously. Don't. Because you never know the fruit that exists. You don't see it. Just yesterday I was talking to this lady. She walked up to me after my breakout session, and she says, you know, Child Evangelism Fellowship sent a missionary to my grandmother when she was a little girl in some far away mountain in Central America or South America, in some little village. So you know, like in Central America or South America, a lot of Hispanics was it Portuguese or Spanish, right? So that's the main language throughout that continent. Well, this grandmother didn't speak any of that. She just spoke her own dialect because that's how remote they were. But that missionary came to her little village on top of that mountainside somewhere and shared the gospel with her, and she accepted Christ. And from there, she had to learn Spanish. You know, just, I guess, some of us, we had to learn Spanish in high school. She had to learn Spanish because she was on a mission for the Lord on that continent, and everyone spoke Spanish, or most people did. And somehow through that, the knowledge of the gospel and faith in Jesus traveled through that family all the way to this lady today. And she's still on that same track, bringing the gospel to little children here in Virginia. And it just amazed me. I said, I bet your grandmother never would have known what kind of fruit that, or that missionary that went there would not have realized the fruit that came from that meeting decades ago. And look at Paul here. Everyone knows he's a missionary. Everyone knows he's a church planter, right? If you look at this passage, how many people believed? I mean, just look at it. How many people believed in Jesus because he was proclaiming the gospel there at that time? How many people believed? I don't know. It doesn't really say. What we do know that a lot of people argued with him. A lot of people disagreed with him. And then when the church was growing, on that last verse in verse 31, right? The church multiplied. That's the last two words here. It says it multiplied. Why did the church multiply? Was it because of Saul or the Apostle Paul's preaching and evangelism? I'm persuaded it was because he stopped persecuting the church. But you know, that didn't stop Paul from telling people about Jesus, even though he didn't see any fruit then. Right? He didn't see any fruit. Because by the time verse 31 came around, you know, when you read toward chapter 9, verse 31, guess what? It was roughly 3 years have passed since Jesus knocked him to the ground with that bright light. Around 3 years passed. And then his first missionary journey, which we read about in Acts chapter 13, approximately 14 years have gone by when chapter 13 comes. And Paul goes on his first missionary journey. Right? Where's the fruit in his ministry? Doesn't say. Was he quiet the whole time? No, he was working. You see him working here, and this is just 3 years after, immediately after he came to faith in Christ, he was talking to people. So he was continually working, right? But not much fruit was mentioned in Scripture. So don't be surprised. So don't be surprised by the lack of fruit. And don't be surprised if you run into opposition from people outside and from people inside. Maybe it might even come from within your own family. Right? Unfortunately, that happens. Don't be surprised. But don't let that discourage you too. Don't let that turn you away. Follow Jesus boldly. Follow His call. Right? Remember to be faithful to God's call. That's a hard one. Okay. It may be easy in the very beginning because we have that, yes, that excitement. But after a few years, you know, faithfulness. Jesus also said, you know, when he comes back, will he find faithful people? Yeah, so remember to be faithful. Faithfully serve. You know, I'm always encouraged to see the faith team. Yeah. And Pastor Tim and all the other elders serving here in one way or another. And especially those people that serve in the background that you don't see them. Right? I mean, the older I get, the more I realize there's so many people working in the background faithfully. And they're following God's call too. So I want you to continue to live, you know, to listen for God's call. You may not hear like a voice. If you do, that's kind of creepy. You know, but definitely as you're reading God's word and studying it, what is God calling you to do? And live your life according to God's revealed will in Scripture. And I've told other people in the past, when you follow God in the little things throughout the day, He'll show you what that next step is. He'll show you what that next step is. That's why I was praying to God over 30 years ago. You know, Lord, do you want me to stay in engineering? Show me. And He showed me pretty dramatically. And I thought, yes, I'll be in engineer. I work as an engineer. I took the next step to be an engineer. I didn't transfer out of the engineering program. I was going to. Seriously. I was going to be a historian. Yeah. Either that or a nurse. Yeah. Or a nurse or something. Or an architect. I was thinking about all sorts of things. What can I be instead of engineer? Right? But then the Lord said, yeah, stay in engineering, and I did. And I take that next step, and as I follow God, He says, this is where you want to go. Oh, okay. So faithful in the little things. Because you're not home yet. You're not home yet. As comfy as your homes are, the latter half of Ephesians 6 says, Paul actually talks about the equipment of God that He's given you to follow Him. So you might want to look at that, the equipment of God. And one of them, definitely, that Pastor Tim always reminds us of, is the sword of the Spirit. Right? Your God's Word. Use it. Jesus Christ has given His life, His flesh and blood, to satisfy the wrath of God against His people. So when you put your trust in Jesus, your sins are forgiven. The wrath of God is satisfied. Justice has been paid. The Holy Spirit lives in those who believe in Jesus and walk with Jesus. And He's called you. People can say whatever they want. And they could believe all sorts of bad things about God's people. But God, as the perfect, loving Heavenly Father, He will still love you. And He has a plan for you. He has things for you to do on this earth. So will you trust in Jesus, be a child of God, and follow His call? Let's pray. Father, pray, Father, for Your mercy and grace in each of our lives. And we thank You that in Jesus Christ we have that mercy and grace. And we have it abundantly, overflowing. Our cup overflows with Your mercy and grace. And we thank You, Lord, for it. And we pray, Lord, that You would help each one of us know what You want us to do with the beautiful lives You have blessed us with. The beautiful life that You have given back to us through Jesus Christ. Through a reconciled relationship with You, to receive Your life, Father, through Your Spirit. Please help us to follow You faithfully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.